They're sore. Definitely going to have to get a little treatment on them, but should be ready to go.
Does it affect your breathing and stuff like that, sleeping?
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, something that is going to bother you when you move the wrong way and tense up a little bit, but I'm sure it'll be, you know, out of the way in the next couple of days.
They're calling it bruised ribs. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I think that's a good explanation on it.
And probably continue to play with a flak jacket?
Yeah, I've had one on. I think that's probably the reason that they're not seriously injured, so I'll probably keep that on and maybe add a little more padding.
Have you worn that your whole football career, not just here, but Notre Dame and everywhere?
Yeah, you know, I have a little bit of a muffin top, and in order to hide it, I think it's best to just wear a flak jacket.
Why do you
is
that some quarterbacks just?
Yeah, you know, when you're standing back there as big as I am, and you got these mean, nasty guys trying to attack you, it's probably best to cover up as much as you can.
How do you think you grew as a quarterback yesterday, Deshaun?
You know, it's just still trying to put some things together. You know, obviously the turnover at the end of the game, in the stat book is another turnover. But, you know, as far as being team protecting throughout the game and putting us in the position to win in the fourth quarter, I think I was able to do that. And I think it was a big emphasis on trying to make some big plays, and we were able to do that as well. You know, a couple with my feet, a couple with guys going out there and coming down with the ball, you know, deep down the field.
How frustrated were you? Moving the offense up and down the field all afternoon, you're getting points on the scoreboard, and then that hit comes and you have to leave the game. How not only frustrating but deflating was that for you, even though you did come back?
Yeah, you know, it's part of the game. You know, it's on me to make sure that I'm protecting myself as much as I can to be out there as an asset to, you know, my team, and you know, give them whatever I can to be out there for my teammates. But, you know, once again, it's a part of the game. I had to step out for a couple series. You know, Cody came in, you know, did an adequate job. And, you know, when it was time to come back out there, I was ready to, you know, pick up where I left off and attempt to win a game in the fourth quarter.
Deshaun, we talked about this earlier in the year when you had some turnovers in the red zone. Does your mindset have to change once you get inside the 20? In other words, do you have to be a different quarterback, or is that – you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't think you necessarily have to change. You have to understand that, obviously, you know, coverage is going to be tighter. There's not as much space down there. There's not as much of a vertical threat on defensive backs, so they're going to squat a little more. You know, there's small things like that you got to keep in mind. But at the same time, you got to continue to have the mindset that you had to get into the red zone. You know, we've done a really good job with driving the ball up and down the field, and in order to finish drives, we have to be that same offense, that offense that you know, can push the ball in the run game, can take some, you know, quick game things and you know, hopefully break a tackle or two and end up in the end zone, such as what Kenny was able to do in that first drive.
Is that one of the tougher jumps from college to pro, in that it's a condensed field, you have it, the windows are even smaller in that red zone, and just more compressed?
Absolutely, and defensive backs understand, you know, their jobs and their rules down there a little better in the NFL. They can, you know, they can play a little more free and understand that, you know, you can kind of cut the field in half typically. It's kind of hard to have a full read when you're down in the red zone. So if the DBs know that, they're going to be able to borrow over to the other side. Makes the window smaller. If it's there, you got to make sure you're putting the ball exactly where it needs to be. If it's not, then you got to make sure you're either taking off and you're either checking the ball, taking off, or throwing out of the back of the end zone.
It seems like every day we get to see in practice, you guys are working on those fade throws a lot. Why are these those so difficult to execute on Sunday? It just seemed like yesterday it was tough for you guys to connect on a couple of those. What makes that play so tough to execute?
Well, it's mano y mano, and every face different. You know, it's a really good defensive back, a really good receiver, and, you know, hopefully a really good quarterback putting the ball up there. And it takes for the receiver and the quarterback to be on the exact same page with the exact same timing every time to be accurate. And with that being said, it makes it a difficult play, and that's why you don't see it a lot. That's why it is such a big moment in the game when you're able to complete those. And then on top of that, coverage. When you get low in the red zone, can really dictate how a corner plays on those plays. You know, if they're playing any sort of a zone coverage, they have no threat, you know, inside or outside, so they're backing up. And if they're backing up, it's hard to make that completion. I think in that game, the Ricardo incident there, the right side that ends up in an interception, is one in which, you know, the corner had help inside. He was able to play outside, you know, read my eyes pretty well, and was able to make a good play on the ball.
They say winning in the National Football League is tough. Did you ever think it would be this tough to win a football game?
Absolutely, especially with a team who you know, is still trying to figure out its way in that winning category. But I think we're getting really close. I think that the same thing I was able to say in the beginning of the year is still very true now. Once we get over that hill, we're going to win for a long time. And I think we have slowly progressed towards that. If you're watching our games, you know that we're very close. We're a couple plays away. Turnovers are still something that we have to make sure that we continue to attack and eliminate. But if we're not turning the ball over and, you know, we're not, you know, having any, you know, dumb penalties, I think that we're in, and at least we're in almost every one of these games. We're going to win quite a few of those. So if we can eliminate those and continue to do what we're doing, this team will start winning soon.
Deshaun Watson should be the Browns quarterback. What do you make of that? And is that maybe even just more fuel to the fire to prove?
No, that has nothing to do with me.
Deshaun, a couple of your teammates said that it was an audible call on the sneak. Do you want to just talk about what you saw?
Yeah, you know, it's not a blame thing. It's not an audible thing. It's just about being better down there. You know, as a quarterback of this team, it's my job when we get that low in the red zone to make sure that the play ends in points. And unfortunately, with the time and situation, that drive didn't.
What would you have done differently if you do that play over again?
You know, try to get an end zone. that's pretty much the ultimate job when you get down there.
Sean, you think the awareness was where it needed to be on that play? Because I know you were getting held, but it seemed like some guys weren't so urgent to get back to the line.
Well, it's hard to get back to the line with 300-plus pound guys laying on
the ground. Other guys.
You know, it's definitely, once again, it's something that we need to improve on completely as an offense. You know, me leading this, I got to make sure that the guys around me understand the situation adequately. And when we're in that huddle, I got to make sure that I'm giving them the exact situation so they know that if something like that happens, that we got to be back on the ball as fast as possible to kill it and hopefully get a field goal there.
I know you've gone close with David Njoku here. There were a couple plays yesterday that, you know, kind of stood out with the protection on the hit you got, and mm-hmm. then, you know, I'm sure he wishes he could have got that second foot down in the end zone.
Yeah.
Do you tell him anything? Do you try to kind of encourage him? Or keep
kid's
him
a baller. There's not much you need to tell him. You know, he's going to make the proper adjustments. He's going to continue to develop the same way I am, and that chemistry is going to stay the same, and we're going to be able to, you know, become hopefully a very, you know, powerful connection. Ever since we got here, we've kind of bonded together, and I think that that's going to continue to grow as long as we're here playing together. And I know that next week he's going to come back out there with a vengeance, and he's going to come back out ready to make the plays that we weren't able to make it in Detroit.
Because obviously he's had some high moments too this season, but you think he's the kind of guy who's driven by when something doesn't go right?
Absolutely. He's back in here watching film before I was even here watching film. And, you know, even on the bus ride back yesterday, he shot me a text to kind of explain the situation. And when you know that a guy has that, you know, self-motivation and that drive within him to make that correction on his own and doesn't need a coach or need any sort of a leader to tell him that, it's not going to happen again. He's going to learn from his mistakes, and we're going to move forward and be that connection we want to be.
Was it text about the missed block when you got hit?
Yeah. Started about the missed block just to make sure I was all right, and then lead it into a long conversation about where we need to go as a team and how close we are, once again, to getting over that hill.
And that corner route, it looked like for him that you wind up getting a PI on.
Yeah.
Was that underthrown just because you were going to get hit?
Yeah. You know, off the back foot, got to make sure that you're driving the ball probably an extra 5 yards for it to come down where you want it to go.
Sean, you said you were more vocal with the defense, special teams. Was that kind of a point of emphasis for you this week?
Yeah. You know, it's all about doing more and more. You know, every time you don't win, instead of, you know, trying to eliminate something out of your game, you just got to do whatever you're doing at a higher level. And for me as a leader in this team, I think it's about time for me to step up in other categories of my leadership, and one of that is being a little more vocal. You know, we came out with a very good start, and that needs to continue throughout the whole game. And in order to do so, I think it's going to take, you know, a guy out there like myself in a position of leadership to step up and make sure that the guys are up and going with good energy.
I know you're not going to be satisfied with anything short of a win, but did you prove something to yourself yesterday with your best game coming off of, you alluded to yesterday, a failed trade, and then you had to come back with the ribs and just kind of everything that went on? Did it mean anything to you and your development?
Nah, I mean, when it comes to, I'm not trying to prove anything to myself here. This is all about proving to the guys around me in this locker room that, you know, the responsibility of a quarterback is exactly what I can take over. And, you know, I'm always just in here trying to do whatever I can to earn respect. And when you go through a situation that we went through this bye week, I think it was a big emphasis on myself to make sure that every time I was out there in practice and in the game that I was continually showing my teammates around me that I'm going to be the guy in this position for a long time.
Jamie Collins obviously made a big play that, you know, helped you out a lot and enabled you to go up 10-0. We were informed that he's out for the rest of the season with the MCL.
Yeah.
What kind of a blow is it, just not to the defense, but to you and every goal?
Yeah, you know, he's an ultimate leader, and he leads from a different from a different perspective. He's not a big vocal guy. He's not a guy who's going to rah-rah with you. He's just going to go out there and he's going to grind and show you by example exactly what it takes to be a winner, because there's not a lot of guys in this locker room who's won the way that he's won. So I'm sure, you know, it's going to be a big blow to this defense, but I think that this defense has shown week in and week out that with the multiple injuries that we've, you know, gone through this season, that we're going to be able to step up in that position. As he's out, I'm sure he's going to become the leader that he's always has been to lead the guys who are going to fill in for his role. And we're going to go back out there and not skip a beat and get ready to win the first game.
John, I have to ask this of other quarterbacks here. How difficult is it to be a leader when the team is now 0-9?
I think that actually makes it easier, because there's a lot of guys in this room who are looking for someone. And when your position naturally puts you in a place where you can lead, they're gonna respond a little easier than if you were in a position where you've always been winning and you've always had success, because everyone kind of knows exactly what they need to do to contribute to that success. But when you're not winning, I think that now all eyes go on that quarterback position. And, with the help of Coach Jackson and Coach Lee and the other two quarterbacks in the room, I think I've been able to take over that role quite nicely and look forward to continue to develop in that leadership spot.
How much are you looking forward to Corey Coleman being back this week?
Going to be awesome for us. He's been working his butt off trying to get back out on the field, and we've been kind of driven by his work off the field. Obviously, he's been able to prove that he's one of the better receivers in this league, and to add him to the playmakers we already have will be a huge plus for us.
Hugh is taking the blame for everything. Anytime the buck stops with him, the last play in the first half, drop passes, everything, he's taking all that on himself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like to hear that from your coach? Do you?
Well, yeah, well, at the end of the day, the offense is 100% driven by me. I'm the one who's out there, taking coach's game plan, taking all of his preparation, and trying to play it out there and be the coach out on the field. So all those situations that he wants to take blame for, I think, can equally be put on myself to make sure that I'm doing whatever I can in the weeks of practice, the preparation, everything that goes into the specific situations that he keeps addressing, and to make sure that the guys around me have the right mindset and, have the right guidance from the leadership role in this offense to go out and execute the way that we should.